Talking today with Roger Johnson, National Farmers Union President. Roger, we're glad to have you here in the state of Oklahoma. And as you come to talk to the Oklahoma organization, the American Farmers and Ranchers, of course, your affiliate here in the state, I know that this has been an awfully busy couple of weeks up in our nation's capital, and you all are keeping up with all these things with budget and regulations, all these things that are being talked about right now in Congress. And really top of mind with the president releasing his budget had to be budget and monetary issues this last week.
Well, it's been budget for a long time, but we've really seen sort of the apex of budget discussions this last week, and no question about it. Of course, last year, Congress never passed a budget for the whole year. They just did something that runs until early March, called a continuing resolution. And so on March 4th, they're going to have to pass something to keep us running for the rest of the year or some other period of time. And so they are operating off of what's called a continuing resolution, which is the 2010 year just projected forward. So we saw that was sort of the first level of big news as the House, in particular the Republican House, began talking about a continuing resolution for the current year funding. And then, of course, early this week, we had the president release the budget for 2012, so two different years. Mm-hmm. Both of these had pretty sizable cuts for agriculture. And in our judgment, cuts that are larger than are proportionate to the rest of the budget. And so we, and I think just about every other agricultural organization in the country, have been objecting to the size and the depth of those cuts. Now, realistically, the administration's budget gets a lot less attention, I think, in this whole process, because, I mean, if you think about it, that's for the next year. Mm-hmm. It takes a long time. Congress, they do hearings on them. They do, you know, they have different committees that work over the different numbers. And ultimately, they hopefully come out with an appropriation by the end of September. Now, that hasn't happened for many years, it seems. You know, we always run out of time, and so we do some continuing resolution. So the administration budget is, I think a lot of folks take it a little less seriously because it's not as imminent, it's not as immediate. The House appropriations that are considered for this, for the year that we're in right now, that would be starting in March, those appropriations, that's pretty serious stuff because it's immediate. I mean, that's what we're going to be dealing with right now. And in point of fact, the cuts that have been proposed in the House are much, much deeper than what were even proposed in the president's budget and, of course, are much, much more immediate. When you look at sort of the numbers in big round terms, the kind of money that we're talking about is about a $1 trillion budget. This is what's called discretionary funding. It's the stuff that gets appropriated every year. Agriculture represents about 2% of that total. In terms of all the cuts that were proposed in the House, agriculture is just over 20% of all those cuts. And when you compare it across all of the government, the cuts that agriculture is projected to take with what's coming out of the House is 2 to 3 times as deep as any other sector on average in the federal government. And so we've got some real issues with what's being proposed in these cuts. We've known for a long time that budget was going to be the issue. I mean, you can't look at what happens in this country without understanding that we've got to do something with our debts and with our deficits and get our fiscal house in order. But having said that, you have to be rational about how you do it as well. There are a lot of really smart economists out there who are saying you've got to be pretty careful about how you start cutting budgets when we are just on the sort of the leading edge of trying to crawl out of the deepest recession that we've had since the Great Depression. and you don't want to jeopardize the economy and, you know, end up with another big double dip recession and end up starting to push employment numbers back down. And so there is a delicate balancing act that everyone is a part of. And but it's the issue. This is the central issue that's with us right now. And it is likely to be the central issue as we start talking about the next farm bill, which is due next year. And I just had a meeting with Chairwoman Stabenow on the Senate side yesterday or the day before, talking about farm bill plans. We're meeting on the House side. We're scheduled with a meeting with Chairman Lucas next week or the week after. Mm-hmm. And having these conversations, most folks are saying, you know, farm bill, they'd like to do it in 2012. We'll see how that plays out. You know, this is going to be a difficult, it's a difficult period right now that we're in.
Right. You know, the implication, obviously, from especially the freshman GOP House members and also the president's budget, in both cases, they're talking about really wanting to see a much slimmer farm bill. They're talking about, obviously, direct payments, so most directly. And, I've heard a lot of talk about crop insurance taking more cuts.
Yeah, that's right. That is what's being talked about. It's really pretty early in the process to try and figure out where all this stuff is going to end up. I have to believe that a lot of these cuts that are being proposed in the House, I mean, they just can't survive. You still have a Democratic Senate. They're not going to go cut to the depths that the House is proposing. You still have an administration that is saying they're going to veto if they cut to those sorts of depths. So it's, you know, some of this is just political posturing right now. And I know that a fair amount of it is you got a bunch of freshmen elected to Congress who are just fresh off a campaign. This is the issue they ran on. They legitimately need to do something for the constituents back home to say, yes, I ran on cutting government, and by golly, that's what I'm going to be doing. And so as we see all of this play out, I think it's just way too early to predict how this stuff is going to settle out right now. I do think we're going to be looking at cuts. I don't think there's much doubt about that. And frankly, National Farmers Union, I think we reflect family farmers who feel the same way, and that is that we have to live within our means. We would argue that, you know, right now the debate is all about cuts. Nothing's about revenue enhancements. And most farmers would look at this and say, well, you know, it's the money you have left over at the end of the year. You get it two different ways. You increase revenues by selling more crops or producing more or what have you, or you get it by cutting costs. And the challenge is to make sure that you don't cut costs in an area that's going to reduce your revenues by more than what you're cutting your costs, because then you're going backwards. So, I think as we see the time play out, hopefully you're going to see Congress and the administration start talking about both sides of this ledger and trying to get the balance right. And then I think we'll be making some serious progress when that happens.
House Agriculture Committee and the Senate Ag Committee both had Mr. Vilsack on the Hill this week on Thursday. It seems like especially on the House side, they were talking about budget. They were talking about, obviously, some of the safety net type issues. They talked a lot about regulations, though, as well, and really pushed him pretty hard to try to interact with Lisa Jackson. Also pushed him pretty hard over the GIPSA issue.
Yeah. Well, that's certainly the case. I think there's a pretty strong sentiment across the country, certainly among our members, that every now and then you find government regulators that get a little carried away. And I think with EPA, we're seeing a lot of that. I think the GIPSA issue is really quite different. My sense there is that We have some proposed rules. Frankly, Farmers Union supported those rules. But when we commented on them, we had a number of areas that we suggested the rules need to be tightened up, clarified, terms need to be defined better. And I believe that when that happens, if that were to happen, a lot of this controversy over the GPSA rules would simply go away. Fundamentally, we believe that we need an economic system in this country that is going to promote robust competition. And if you have good, strong competition out there in the marketplace, you're likely to have a more efficient marketplace. We're going to be all better off as a society if you have a more competitive marketplace. And there are major portions of the rule that are designed to provide a more competitive marketplace. There are a couple of tweaks where we would say, they overreached a bit. You know, this provision that said one buyer can only represent one company out there, that makes a lot of sense if it is just the major buyers that are at play and if it's in one of the major auction markets. But, you know, out in the countryside, a lot of these small town auction markets, if you do that, you won't have anybody. So there's an easy way that you can provide some exceptions. Just make sure that the big players are going to be treated in a fashion that they can't be colluding. You don't have to worry about the little guys. They haven't got enough market power to collude and make a difference anyway.
Are you okay with Mr. Vilsack and acknowledgement that we needed to go ahead and do a cost-benefit analysis and using Dr. Glauber?
Yeah, I think every rule that is substantive should have a cost-benefit analysis. Now, I think this is a perfect case of where USDA looked at this rule as they wrote it. Their interpretation, what they intended, was it wasn't going to have a significant cost. Other folks, as they read it, said, well, no, if you interpret this language differently, there is going to be a big cost. Well, had USDA interpreted it the way these other folks are interpreting it, they would have had to have done a cost-benefit analysis right out of the chute. So it's sort of a clear evidence that you've got a language issue that really needs to be tightened up. And that's not unusual when you're writing a brand new regulation for a law that's been on the books for many, many, many years. You're kind of starting from scratch. You know, the folks who are writing this kind of knew what they had in mind. But it takes a few iterations before you get it right. And we're confident that they're going to get it right. And we're hopeful that the essence of the rule, the substance of the rule, is going to be maintained at the end of the day, and they're just going to clarify a lot of this language. And there will be an economic analysis that will be done. And I'm confident that if this rule is written right, that economic analysis is going to show that it's going to be good for us because it's going to increase competition. At the end of the day, we increase competition. We have a more competitive marketplace that's good for all of us.
Let's talk about your convention coming up, San Antonio this year, March 2011. In your mind, what will be the hot topics? And probably some of the stuff we've already talked about, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm sure budget, farm bill are going to be big issues. I expect that we'll have a fair amount of discussion about dairy. You've got some dairy in this state as well. I'm from North Dakota originally. We're kind of a small dairy state. But the dairy industry has struggled more than almost any other sector of agriculture these last several years. Mm-hmm. And frankly, the last several years have been pretty good for most of agriculture across the board. When you look at averages, and we all understand it's dangerous to look at averages, but it's been pretty good for a lot of folks in agriculture, but for dairy. So there is some thinking. I don't know that this is certain that it's going to happen this way, but I know there's some thinking, at least on the House side, that they would like to do new dairy policy this year in advance of the farm bill. Mm-hmm. We'll see whether that happens or not, but I think we need to be ready for it. And so I expect that we'll have more focus and more debate on dairy policy at our convention. I expect that we will have discussion about hunger. You know, some people say, well, why are farm organizations having discussions about that? And at the end of the day, most farmers are farmers because they want to do something good for the rest of the world, for people, and feeding them is pretty essential. These high market prices that we're seeing right now really have very little impact on food costs in this country. But they have pretty significant impacts on food costs in third world countries, where instead of eating cornflakes for breakfast, they may take that corn and mash it up and make a gruel out of it and eat that. There's little added value to that commodity in many of these poor countries. And so we really do need an agricultural policy in this country that is going to do something to reduce this enormous price volatility. If there's anything true about the high market prices we have today, it's that they're going to go down. They're going to be low market prices again sometime. And we need farm policy that's going to help when those market prices go back down, that's going to provide a safety net. At the same time, I think we need to have a policy that's going to help to moderate some of this extreme price flexibility or fluctuation, because it's just not healthy for the industry to have that kind of price fluctuation, and it's harmful to a lot of folks that are hungry in the world.
Well, last question, as far as you alluded to the fact that you were wondering a little bit about that 2012 time frame, you know, Give me your thoughts on the various schools of thought. Of course, Mr. Peterson's thought early was this year. Mr. Lucas has rejected that. He wants to go next year. Hearing Mike Conaway from Texas talk about maybe 2013.
Well, I'm not going to predict when we're going to have a farm bill, other than to say two things. It's not going to be this year. I think we pretty much know that. And the second thing I'll say is, if you look back at the history of farm bills, the 2003 Farm Bill was supposed to be 2002, okay? The 2008 was supposed to be 2007. The 1996 Farm Bill was supposed to be a 1995 Farm Bill. There is a pattern, and that's not to say that this one's going to get pushed into 2013, but it is to say that these things are kind of unpredictable. We're going to be in a very difficult budget position. Frankly, we are going to do everything we can to try and make it happen in 2012, because I think it is less likely that you're going to see deep and unfair cuts to agriculture if there's a big election coming 2 or 3 or 4 weeks later. But I think there will be some folks that are determined that they're going to have great big cuts that would just as soon see it pushed into the following year so they can get past the election and then deal with it. So, you know, we're a long ways away from having a farm bill right now, and we're a long ways away from knowing whether these market prices that we have today are going to be anywhere as close a year or 2 years from now. And this whole business changes very rapidly. So it's a tough one to predict.